Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you have any prayer requests or correspondence you would like to send to the WIBR Warn Radio, you can do so through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And I want everybody to know that when you send your prayer requests in, we take them seriously before the Lord. And we appreciate you guys and love you and want the best for you. And the WIBR Warn Radio can be found on Sayscape, Telegram, USA.live, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, Pure Social, and Gab Social. And you can also listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com to listen to the shows and read the latest articles. Be sure to check out the Warn Classic Radio Series. Don't miss the Revelation of John. That series has 23 episodes. And Revelation of John series, parts 1 through 7 on Patmos, brings you into the realm of the Apostle John. And the Revelation of John series, part 8 through 14, is the great wonder into the realm of the Apostle John. Vivid images, prophetic in all its books, the Apocalypse stands alone in the annals of church history. And parts 15 through 23, Revelation of John series, Faithful and True, brings forth the battle, the events, and the coming of the true one, who is the faithful and true, the Almighty and the Lord of Lords. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. It actually warmed up yesterday, and it's still warm. Spring is coming. And so, although the apocalypse is drawing near, I am planning on planting a garden again this year.
Yes, and me too.
We finally got all of our various winter squash put up. And we had a huge harvest. That was even after we gave everything away, most of it.
Yeah.
We do that about every year, is give it away.
Oh, well, I mean, it's more than we can eat.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we are going to do that. So if Joe Biden decides to have the end of the world, well, I'm going to be gardening. I actually used to write some articles like that, you know, gardening at the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know,
in the apocalypse, it's gardening in the apocalypse.
Yeah,
that's what you wrote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also did gardening in the end of the world. Gardening in the Apocalypse was where I started out. And then I did all kinds of things regarding gardening and, you know, dodging bullets and bombs and how do you do this, and many years ago. Because we expected the apocalypse to come at any time.
We sure did.
But if you get clear back in the 80s, you know, we do go a bit back here. You know, we've always felt that the Lord was going to come right now. And here it is, you know.
40-some years later.
40-some years later, and he still hasn't shown up. I was going to write him the other day and find out, you know, I thought he was coming.
I don't think we'll get his schedule anytime too soon. I think he's going to show up and surprise us.
Well, you know, we do have his roadmap, and we do teach on it and preach on it and talk about it. And we have to be prepared, but the thing of it is that, you know, there's more to life than just being afraid and worried and concerned that the whole thing is going to fall apart. Of course, it doesn't help to have Biden around here who is, you know, making a war of everything. He's totally against everything Trump did, so every good thing that we enjoyed that Trump did is now undone. And in one, you know, less than a month, he single-handedly, you know, and we're not even in a dictatorship, but, the forefathers warned us that our system was made for a righteous people. That's what they said. And when you are not righteous, when you are crooked, when you are full of vengeance, then you get into these things and you write executive orders to change the world. Well, you know, the bottom line of it is it's not fair to everybody else, but America is so divided right now. We are in a mess in America.
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
But I'm still going to go gardening, and we're looking forward to summer and spring, and, you know, doesn't really make a hill of beans to me. That's H-I-L-L, hill of beans. If you've ever seen a hill of beans, I've seen a hill of wheat, a hill of barley. I used to jump around in the wheat bin from a farmer friend of ours. He used to go over and visit his son, who was a buddy of mine. We'd go clear up in the loft and jump down into the grain bin. And you'd sink clear up to your waist every time. But it's not very good on your skin. You're only going to do that a couple of times so you figure out that's not really a good idea. But we thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
At any rate, we're here today. Up front, we're talking about Ethiopia. You know, as far as I can remember, we have always had Ethiopia on the radar. And it's always had tribal conflicts. It's always had radical Islamists there. And they've had a lot of famines and pestilences there. And I remember years ago, the one scene picture that I seen of a village, they had the woman, and I've talked about this before, she was about half dead, her eyes were glazed over, they were open, her mouth was open, she was hanging on to the baby was hanging on to her, I mean, just laying there as listless as her mom was. They were near dead, but they didn't have much food, so they didn't have any energy. And that was when America sent over a bunch of wheat and stuff to eat.
And corn.
Corn, that's what it was, yeah. But it was not GMO, you know, it was GMO, not non-GMO, and they wouldn't touch it. So the government wouldn't let the people have the GMO corn. So you just let them starve to death.
That's crazy to me.
But I'll never forget that picture.
Yeah.
Because it was the most disturbing picture I've seen. And so Ethiopia this time is in the Tigray, and there's been a lot of trouble over there.
Yeah.
Fox News even reported on it, and
wow.
And they were talking about it. And you know, usually get a lot of regular news organizations talking about it. They call it Ethiopia's secret conflict. And of course, whenever you have something like this, you always have a lot of dead civilians. You always have just more than a mess. And of course, with it, now see, they report that more than 100 women in the northern region have been raped. And this is just during 4 months there.
That's horrible.
You know, and when you get in war, you know, women get raped.
Unfortunately.
But it's just a crime when you look at all of this. You know, there is a little different to this when you think about what America's like today. There was a survey of Generation X or Z or whatever they're called. And they have one of the largest percentages, I think, of any generation now that is doesn't see any issues with transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, all these different gender identities. You know, there. I seen one story: a scientist, they had over 100 different sexual genders. I don't know where they're getting them all.
That is insane.
Oh, it is. So, you know, what I'm saying is, I mean, in the old days, you know, it was the women, but today, hell, you don't know. You know, these people are crazy today. And of course, most of them don't want to fight anyway, so I don't know what they're all going to do. Most of them, I don't know. We are in trouble. And
yes,
and
yes,
so are
we
the
are.
So are the people in the Tigray and Ethiopia conflict. I don't know why these people have to take on each other, except that most of the time, a high percentage of the time, it's politics, it's religion having to do with radical Islam, and the fact that there's some Christians in there, and they always try to kill the Christians all the time.
Yeah.
All the time we find this. And all in all, the foreign affairs head for a Tigray opposition party said that the conflict there was the least documented war. and they said so far more than 52,000 civilians have died. Can you believe that? 52,000.
I know. That's horrible. I read that.
I mean, how do you kill 52,000 people unless you're just going through village after village killing them all?
It's horrible. It's unconscionable.
Well, you know, a lot of these are tribesmen. You know, they're not equipped for war. They're equipped to go out and get something to eat.
Hunter-gatherer.
Yeah. They're not people gatherers. They're hunter-gatherers. You know, they just,
well,
they keep to themselves and they live in their tribes and
these groups are Muslims that are killing them, and they
yeah.
think they're doing God a service. Little do they know.
Well, you know, that's what the Lord said. There come a time that those who kill you will think that they're doing God service, you know. And we do have that exact same thing. You know, many of the others don't really particularly believe that, but the Muslims do. They believe that when they're killing you, they're doing the Lord a favor. So
their God, not the Lord.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, up front in our news shorts, Iran and Pakistan. And the one thing I found interesting was a CBN article. And, you know, when you're living in places like Pakistan, it is hard on Christians, even if you're a professional. And this story that I had read was about a nurse. And, you know, it takes, I think, a couple of years to become a good nurse. You know, I mean, to go through the schooling. I mean, they're not slack, you know. They have to know what they're doing. And, you know, a Muslim co-worker had accused her of committing blasphemy.
Who's that, the nurse?
Yeah, during her job there. And you see, one of the co-workers that she was working with was a Muslim. And they were told not to handle any money from patients. And apparently this other worker received money from a patient. She wasn't. So this other woman reported her. Well, guess what? All of a sudden then, the Muslim accused Gill of committing blasphemy. And we find that a lot in Pakistan.
Yeah.
So they locked her in a room until police arrived. And, of course, the other thing that happens is that there's always a mob of Muslims ready to gather.
And kill them, yeah.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that is really bad. And we've seen this time and time again, that Christians and other religious minorities are targeted. Well, it came out today, you know, related to Pakistan, that the prime minister there, the dude in charge, has put together an advisor to monitor, you know, a lot of these other, you know, Christians and other minorities to make sure they're being fairly treated. I thought that was interesting.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
If they can get a fair person in there to deal with that.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that they did free Asiya Bibi after 9.5 years. At least she got out of there.
Yes, that's true.
She was on death row, and they've tried to. And
so
you know,
hopefully there's hope for...
Well, we've received a lot of reports over the years that we had talked about. And from Pakistan. A lot of deaths. A lot of kids killed, too, just for being Christian. And one was a young boy that they had, other Muslims asked him if he was a Christian. He said yes, so they threw him in the brick kiln and cooked him to death.
Yeah, but, I've heard.
And then there was...
hear all kinds of horror stories.
And then there was another couple who had a number of children. They, most of the time, they can't read or write. And so they're at a disadvantage. They were accused of blasphemy. And the crowd ended up stoning them, killing them, and putting them in the brick kiln. They were totally innocent. They didn't do anything. But that's the way it works. Has worked in Pakistan. So, you know, if you're in America, you know, just thank your lucky stars this doesn't happen. Now, although we have had a number of the Democrats shoot off their fat mouth about going around and collecting Christians and patriots and conservatives, in this country we shoot. And so there's a lot of people. You go around and try to collect them up, you're going to get a butt full of buckshot or maybe a bullet between the eyes, depending on what you're trying to do. People are permitted to defend themselves. It's unfortunate that in America, we have people in our government that actually say things like this, but they do. And then, of course, now that you have Biden up there and his atrocities, only God knows what this guy is going to do. So far, the biggest trouble he's had, because he's had help signing all the executive orders. And, of course, Susan Rice is there to set them up for him to make sure he signs the right one. And they have a staff of people looking through everything to make sure he signs them. So nothing is missed. He has plenty of help.
Yeah, we seen a cartoon the other day of Obama grabbing the top of Biden's hair, holding his head up, and pulling him back in the chair, and Kamala Harris holding his arm and signing the papers, holding a pen in his hand and signing papers, executive orders. I thought that's probably the truth.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that he definitely has people helping him know what to do up there. And that's the issue, too. Now, another one I like came out of Open Doors USA. And this is the Judge of Death. We've talked about this guy before.
Oh, that's one of my articles I'm supposed to read.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think it's there, is it?
Yeah, it's Iran. Building the True Church. Iran Building the True Church.
I think this is another article, isn't it?
No, it's the same one.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll skip that.
Yes.
Since Towers made the claim of it.
Do you want me to read it now?
No, we've got another one on Eritrea. Now, I've heard this one. This has been really released a lot. And I think it's interesting that Eritrea is coming up in all this all the time.
You know why?
Why?
They border Ethiopia.
And then you got the Tigray. See, they're all interconnected. Ethiopia's Tigray.
Yeah.
Eritrean troops. So Tower will tell you about it here. The world is a mess today.
And the Lord said it was.
But, you know, you have a lot of Christians in these areas. And while we may have a few issues here, you know, you're not dying every day or afraid every day or starving every day or running for your life every day. Okay? So I think it's time that if America needs to do one or two things, you know, if they're going to be divided and hate each other, just have war and kill each other and get it over with. Now, the alternative is, why don't we just kiss and make up, unite, put people decent up there in the government, let them agree not to destroy everything and get along and let them run the thing.
Yeah, because of their hatred of Trump, they hate Trump so bad, they're still tormenting him and trying to destroy him, and they're reversing all of the good that he did for America, and they're tearing the country back down.
Well,
the way it was during Obama's reign.
And that's true. And of course, when Obama tried it, and the one thing that I made the point of saying on our news shows and everything is that once you begin a policy of governing by removing the executive orders and setting your own, then you're subjecting the people of America every 4 years to a new set of rules. And pretty soon it gets old, and those American people may end up just shooting your ass because you're such a spoiled brat, one-sided, hating America. Now, see, there are globalists that are over this. There are those like George Soros that is funding the overthrow of the United States. We need to lock up George Soros. We need to get rid of the open society of George Soros. We need to take all these George Soros-appointed nincompoops who won just because they got money from him, throw their butts in jail, and we need to lock up a few Democrats and a few Republicans, and we need to clean house, and we need to get this thing straightened out. Well, so much for that.
Yes.
So, Tower's got this story.
Okay, this is about Eritrean Christians being set free. It comes to us from ICC, which is International Christian Concern. And 70 Christians have been set free from three separate Eritrean prisons. And that's according to Christian Solidarity Worldwide Report. On February 1st, the government released 21 female and 43 male Christians, and they'd been imprisoned without trial anywhere from 2 to 12 years. On January 27, six women were released after being arrested for worshiping while walking down the street. And that they were walking down the street in September, and they were arrested in January. How ridiculous. And there are an estimated 500 Christian prisoners of faith in Eritrea. And it's a country ruled by a military dictatorship which has outlawed every form of religion except Islam and Orthodox Christianity, Roman Catholicism, and the Lutheran Church. And when these Christians are released, I mean, when they're arrested, they often disappear without a trace. Their loved ones have no information on their whereabouts or their safety. The prisons conditions are the harshest in the world. And some of the inmates are kept in shipping containers, and believers are often tortured in an attempt to get them to renounce their faith. And while we rejoice for the newly found freedom of our brothers and sisters in Eritrea, there is reason to believe that the country is hoping such news will shift international attention away from the atrocities being committed in Ethiopia's Tigray region. The Ethiopian troops are currently being accused of participating in serious human rights violations and violence that may amount to genocide. And it is of vital importance that we pray for both the persecuted Christians living in Eritrea as well as the war victims of Ethiopia's Tigray region. Horrible situation.
Where did that, who did that one?
International Christian Concern.
From
a Christian Solidarity Report.
Yeah.
Via ICC.
Well, there's a lot of communication like that because they do publish each other's stuff. We used to have a lot of International Christian Concern stuff on our websites. We don't have that stuff anymore because we report it. And we have a lot of reports on our website. Nevertheless, Iran's up there. And, you know, this particular story reminds me a lot of Pastor Brunson, who is in America. And he's come out recently warning about Americans being persecuted for their faith because of the way things are going. And I'm going to tell you that he is correct. You know, I've been warning about this, Tower, and I've been talking about this forever, about what's coming. But this is a missionary pastor, and of course, Tower and I are well aware of missionaries and pastors being in the ministry ourselves and going through Bible school, being around couples that were going into the ministry, knowing missionaries and the whole thing of college life in a Christian setting. We know that very well. And he's been in Iran for 19 years now. I believe Pastor Brunson was something like 20 years. I'm not sure.
Or 25, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
He was there for quite a while. And
in Turkey.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is that he would usually work on the street, you know, with people. And he is filing an application with the European Council of Human Rights, the top human rights court. I didn't know this, but...
Who is doing that?
Missionary Pastor David Bile.
Oh.
Because what they're trying to do is get rid of him because of what he's been doing. He said that whenever we spoke in public, people were excited to listen and learn. For a long time, we were successfully able to fight the government attempts to stop our ministry. And he says, we were only making use of our right to religious freedom protected by the Turkish Constitution. The government did not want us in Turkey, but plenty of people do. God called us there, and he wants the Turkish people to hear about him and to know that he's doing wonderful things. And so, he's faced a number of trouble with the government because they want to get rid of him. Now, they succeeded in getting rid of Brunson, and there's others up there, too. And the thing of it is that Iran had ratified the European Convention on Human Rights. That whole, they agreed to the whole thing. So if they ratified it, then they have to pay attention to what this particular European Council says. Well, see, there is some issues why they did that. Erdogan, we used to be really buddy-buddy with the European Union, but since he's kind of fell out of favor because he's had messianic ideals trying to get the old Ottoman Empire going. So there are a number of issues in regards to what Erdogan is doing, especially when he's taken major Christian cathedrals that have been that way for centuries and converted them into other things. So there's a lot of issues here, and we think they definitely need a Christian witness there. But, you know, make no mistake about it. You know, when we graduated from school and went into the ministry, as well as all those who were with us, you know, there was well known there were areas that were closed, period. There were no missionaries, period. And Iran is one of those places that is pretty well closed up. And it's a wonder that he's there, but he does have a system. He's been there, so let's hope that he is able to do that.
Yes.
And the other thing, and you know, one of the reasons he can do that is because we're online, you know, the internet and phones and our satellite, everything that we have has brought the world closer together. So you can take a European court and they can do everything online, make it available, let everybody see it, and show that they are the body of human rights that they claim to be. And that word can influence how people treat Iran and things like that. Now, another thing is that social media, for instance, and Egypt is one that we've had a lot of reports out coming over the years about blasphemy regarding Christians and being online. And in this case, including Iran does this. If you had, for instance, one of the big culprits is Facebook. If you have a Facebook page and you have anybody come along and put something on there that they shouldn't, then you're liable. And we've had people in Iran that had done that and they faced the death penalty. When Brunson was in Iran, he said about 100 or so people a month were being hung, killed.
Wow, that's horrible.
Because they were crossing the line. In Egypt, this has come up. This particular person was supposed to have been released from prison last year. And here it is a year later, and he's still, you know, as far as the word is still not, but you know, the thing of it is that they don't release him, and they keep him there because they tell him just what they told the world. You know, I remember when they said this about Sia Bibi. We can't release her, so they put her somewhere else, and she was still under the guise of the authorities until they could get her out of there. And the reason of it is because of roaming gangs of radical Muslims who were going to kill him. And now, this particular another young man was only 17, and he was arrested after he received a bunch of insults on social media. And all he did was put a portrait of himself with a cross.
And, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And they said, we did not expect this would lead to a court case and jailing. I have two lawyers, one Muslim and the other Christian. The first lawyer told me the judge will see us, and it means that the case is not Muslim versus Christian. But then the judge expelled the lawyers, telling them, don't defend this guy again. The verdict is the same. And so both of these people who had been online, and even in with social media, are still in prison. But see, this is what we're seeing. And you know, the big thing of it is, there's another word that has come out too, is there's a lot of what we call robots out there, specially made things that are propelled around the web through their own script in them, and they look for things and report back. And they can find stuff, dig it out, and it's the same way you get a lot of viruses and everything else. And so a lot of these particular nations use various technologies to uncover Christians that are in secret groups. They don't want them praying. They don't want them meeting other Christians. They don't want them speaking about Christ. They don't want them to do anything. I mean, these people can't do nothing. They even try to get them to stop praying silently. They don't want them with any kind of a crowd in their own homes. They can't even sing about the Lord. They can't, nothing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I would have one word for them. Well, maybe two words. Forget it. That's the nice way.
There was also that other guy that was arrested after he posted an image on Facebook pointing out that Muhammad did not perform any miracles.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, and we covered him. So when you're talking about social media, and guess what? In America, there has been calls from mainline, and I know that Microsoft was in on it. Google, some of the top ones were getting together to find out how they can't crack down on a number of things, including news they don't think is right. And of course, when you're talking in America's socialism-based ideals here is what they're doing. Christian thought is out. I mean, it's just like some of those who are up there being interviewed for positions. You know, this one guy that they had was being interviewed said that late-term abortions are fine with him. And so
that's just horrible. Well, that's just...
Yeah, and
horrifying.
There's another one, there's a number of them that promote stuff that are anathema. So, folks, there is a difference between the Christian perspective in America and the pagan perspective, which is what Joe Biden participates in. And the people that he has on up there, the leftists he has, are some of the most extreme leftists on the planet. So make
full
no mistake.
Perversion, deception, wickedness.
Yeah. And any way you look at it, it's wrong. I don't care how you dress it up. You know. So the bottom line of it is that if you think America is wonderful and you love the way this is going, I got news for you. Judgment's coming. Even on Generation Z or X or whatever it is. And most of our kids...
Who knows what they are?
Most of our kids are corrupt in their morals because they've been taught that way. Most of these kids don't know the truth. Plus, your churches don't preach the gospel like they should. There was a pastor this last week that was talking about the Bible not being the Word of God. Well, one of the basic defenses of the Bible is to know where the Scriptures are that Peter himself and the apostles were pointing out. It is the Word of God. So, you know, the Word of God, I write the Word of God, I preach the Word of God, I teach the Word of God, and it is the Word of God. If you don't like it, then I can't help you, but I'm not going to change my mind.
That's right, amen.
And so I don't apologize for the Word of God. I don't apologize for having scriptures, talking about scriptures, openly being a Christian. And there's no way in hell, there's no way anywhere at any time that someone is going to stop me from actively being my faith and doing what I feel God has called us to do. There's no way. And of course, they can shoot you, they can kill you, they can put you in prison. But if you're still alive to breathe the breath, you can still breathe for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. We win in the end, no matter what you do to the Christians today. When you kill them, they go instantly to be with the Lord. So the bottom line of it is that as we cover the Christian persecution, yes, they are persecuted, and we don't like it, and we want to see advocates for them. We want you to support the people who help them with finances and prayers. You know, we're not telling you to send money to us. We're telling you to send money to these who are doing it. Here's another one that we're going to be talking about, Bibles for the Mideast. And so Tower is going to handle that.
Okay, I'm going to this is a letter we received from Bibles for the Mideast. It's from Pastor Peter Hanif. He's the president of the Assembly of the Living God Church. And he writes, "Dear fellow ministers and prayer partners, glory to the Lord Jesus. Hope this finds you well and peace in our Lord. We do remember you in our regular prayers and thank you for your prayers and support as well. By God's grace, we have sent 5,500 Urdu Bibles all together to the pastor Musad in northern Bangladesh. We glorify our Lord for each and every one of you for your prayers and the generous donations as well as small donations some of you have given us for this task. We thank you for all the donors and the prayer supporters. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless you abundantly according to his riches in glory. We again glorify our Lord that he saves hundreds of souls through Pastor Massad's Bible distribution ministry. Pastor and Bibles for Mideast Gospel team travel village to village, proclaiming gospel and distributing Bibles door to door. When they conducted a prayer meeting in a village house, some fundamental Muslims came with sticks and other weapons to attack them. But the women of the village who were attending the prayer meeting strongly opposed the attackers and protected the pastor and team. Also, the women argued with the attackers that Allah in the Quran and Jehovah in the Bible is not the same. Allah is a local god of the Quraysi clan of Arabia. He is not a real god, but Jehovah is the God of heaven and earth. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior and the living God. We believe him and we trust in him and we will have faith in him till the end of our life. The fundamentalists shouted at them and went back angrily. The believers in the village expected their attack again and started praying and fasting. They request all the children of God to pray for them. And Pastor Massoud immediately requires another 4,500 Bibles to distribute to other villages. We ask your prayers to fulfill their mission and vision with love and prayers in his service, Pastor Peter.
Now, that is a great report.
That is. I love that. And here they're distributing the word of God, which is our bread of life.
And it's in their language.
Yes.
That's so great.
That is awesome.
And this is the kind of thing, and we came across Pastor Peters a long time ago, and then I contacted one of his Western contacts that help him and his people. She is in Canada, and we've contacted each other, and so we continue. You know, we know that there is a flow here, both from when we report it, and we tell you that Bibles for the Mideast, and you can go to his website and you can donate to them. The bottom line of it is, folks, it is up to you. I'm not here to shame you or anything else. I don't want you to feel guilty. This is something the Lord is doing through these people. And, you know, you're just going to have to pray about it. God will reward you and bless you. But we can give you contact information about the website. But the bottom line of it is, folks, is that the gospel goes forward no matter how messed up the world is. No matter what the devil's trying to do, the scripture will go out. The gospel
Amen.
Will be preached.
Amen.
God promised us. He told us that this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. Not until. So,
well, let's get busy and get it going, because we want to get this sin over with and this evil wickedness to be gone.
Now, in Pakistan, again, there was a little article in Morningstar News. Now, of course, what they're doing here is going back and talking about bringing out what is happening with blasphemy. And this is a case of two Christians who were in Lahore, which has a lot of, that's a major area for a lot of Christian trouble. And so, you know, the thing about this, you know, you're reading the Bible. I mean, you're two Christians. You're buddies, okay? You're friends. And so you're studying the Bible in the town park. Yeah, you're in Pakistan, but it's just you. You and your buddy studying the Bible. And as you begin to study the Bible, a group of Muslims see these two Christians, and they don't realize probably that they're Christians till they get closer. And they begin to ask them questions. And of course, they ask for reading material. Now, one of the reasons they do that, and Christians are always happy to give them material on the Lord. Well, guess what? As soon as they did that, these youths took it and left, and they came back later, and they were claiming that these two had blasphemed against the prophet. And of course, this is where we're at in a lot of areas. Now, you know, when you get into this, these Christians wouldn't have been using any bad words. Because that's the way a lot of these Christians are. They're not going to do that. So they got in trouble. And it's interesting that within this article, they do mention a lot of people that had the same problem. And they mention the 2018 acquittal of Asiya Bibi, who had been wrongly convicted of blasphemy and sentenced to death. And so this is the battle. You're sitting there reading the Bible, and you know, the devil sniffs around. I mean, he uses, you know, humans. You know, go on over and see what they're doing. You know, question. They're up to no good. Go on over there. You know, and this is how the devil works. I mean, if I'm in a park reading the Bible, it's none of your business. But see, on the other hand, these Christians want to spread the word. You know, that,
and good for them.
Yeah, but it can get you in trouble. You start spreading the gospel and speaking of Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you. I mean, if you shut up and never say anything, they'll never know. Unless someone reports you. But see, we've been called to testify. We overcame, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb. That's accepting him. And that is work on the cross, the blood of the covenant. The blood of the Lamb, that's what that is. The word of our testimony, that's the second thing in Revelation 12:11. Whosoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before the Father and his angels. And the other one is, you love not your life unto the death. Whosoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it, Scripture says. Revelation 12:11. That's how you overcame. It's past tense, the word. It's in Revelation. We are in the time. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, love our lives, not unto death. No matter what the Muslim thinks, no matter what the Hindu thinks, no matter what the communist thinks, no matter what North Korea thinks, no matter what they think in Eritrea, no matter what they think in Iran, no matter what they think in America, no matter what the Democrats think, no matter what the Republicans think, no matter what anybody thinks, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he died on the cross. He overcame. He was risen from the dead. He was seen alive by many infallible proofs. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's coming again. He's bringing the saints with him in the armies of heaven. He's going to put down the devil. He's going to put down the false prophet. He's going to put down everybody and everything that's wicked. Amen. And he's going to have a kingdom that's perfect. And in order to be in that kingdom, you've got to be perfect. And the only way to do that is through the blood of the Lamb and accepting and receiving Christ and believing on him. And then you'll be justified by faith, just as our friend Abraham was the first one to be justified by faith, believing God. And God imputed it unto him for righteousness' sake. So, friends, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to listen to the truth and know that we win this thing no matter how bad the devil wants to make it. We win, and he knows it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And every one of these that we report on every week are winners. And they can be oppressed, they can be chased out. Now, if you ever read Hebrews Hall of Faith, you'll see in the latter part of them, those of whom the world was not worthy, who wandered from cave to cave, they didn't have anything, they didn't have any way, they had to escape, and they were hunted down. The world wasn't worthy. Now, you know, one time I was watching a Bear Grylls thing, and they were in Turkey, out in the middle of nowhere. And he came across these high caves up on the side of the wall. I don't know how they even got in there. And he had been told that those were the very caves that the Christians had gone while persecution was going on. They had fled there. And they lived there. And you think about that. This was clear out in the middle of nowhere. If you know anything about Bear Grylls, if he can find it, I guarantee you, you're not going to want to be where he was, because this guy's a professional. But these Christians did it on a regular basis. And he showed you the insides and how they made their fires. It was amazing. So I got news for you. If you're a Western Christian, it's time to check yourself in at the gate and seek the Lord and say, Lord, am I ready for this?
We need to get ready.
Yes, we do. Now, we do have another one out of Pakistan, and there's a
lot of news out of Pakistan this time.
Yeah, there is. And this is another Morningstar News. They pick up a lot of this. There was two men suspected of torturing a Christian man to death, and they've been permanently freed on bail in Pakistan. Now, this is not unusual. And this 22-year-old Christian was working as a day laborer in an agricultural field, and he was finished unloading chaff in the fields. Now, if you know anything about chaff, it's the same thing when you're dealing with straw, or dealing with, you know, any kind of a grain. Even today we have professional threshers. The grain and all the chaff and the byproducts can be picked up by the wind. And when you get done, you have this scratchy stuff all over your skin.
Yeah.
And so you're in Pakistan. It's hot. You're working hard, and you got all this stuff on your skin. You want to wash it off. So he simply washed it off. And so they were so mad at him because, as a Christian, they made it unclean. He made it unclean by trying to wash himself. And they claimed the entire crop now is filthy as the result of it. This is just nonsense from these Muslims. But see, these in Pakistan, Christians have faced centuries of this kind of treatment. And these Muslims have come to believe that they can say anything and do anything and get away with it. One of these days, the judgment of God will be on all these areas that treated these Christians so bad. You mark my words and you will see it. And so it's just absolutely atrocious. And they actually chained him down and tortured him for 2 hours. He was beaten with sticks and iron rods, given electric shocks, rolled over by an iron rod, things causing multiple fractures, and he died at the hospital as a result of it.
Oh, yeah.
And his family tried to get justice. And the father said, my son was tortured in front of many villagers, but even the witnesses have backtracked due to threats from the accused and the police, who are acting on their behalf. Sometimes we are offered blood money, and other times threatening messages are conveyed that my sons and I will be killed in a similar manner unless we stop pursuing the matter in court. Now, this is justice in the Middle East for Christians.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And we whine about America. If you're going to whine, pray for the persecuted overseas. Seriously. You need to pray for these people.
That's right. Amen.
And so the bottom line of it is, it's just absolutely really disturbing when you see what these people get away with.
Oh, it is. It's unbelievable that they are allowed to get away with this.
And do you want to do your last one now?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the Iran Building the True Church. And on October 17th, 2020, four Christian Iranian Christians were arrested, and they were converts, and they stood in the courtroom accused of acting against national security by forming a house church. And as the judge, Mogadishu, known as the judge of death for his harsh treatment of prisoners of conscience, he spewed hatred. He told the believers, "Your actions are worthy of death." And he refused to listen to their defense. He raised their bail to 7 billion tomans, which is equivalent of $220,000 in American dollars. And of course, they were unable to pay, so three of them were sentenced to 10 years each in prison, and another one to 5 years in prison. So there was two men and two women. And until recently, little was known about their case, but because of the Persian language website, humanrightsinir.org, which first reported the reports, has chronicled their difficult journey and giving a vivid illustration of how the converts from Islam to Christianity are unfairly treated in the legal system in Iran. And according to a new report, the first converts were first arrested in January of 2019, when the officials raided their homes. They were transferred to Evin Prison, where they were relegated to solitary confinement and for 30 straight days they were interrogated severely before being released on 8 million tomans or $62,500. And on March 18, pending the outcome of their trial, and over a year later, in June of 2020, they were tried on charges of acting against national security. And they were reportedly accused of widespread association with missionary groups as well as evangelical Christian groups outside the country in Russia, Georgia, Turkey, and Armenia. The two women were later freed on bail, and the men were transferred to Evin Prison, where, for the first time, they finally heard that they had been sentenced to prison and would spend the next 5 or 10 years behind bars. That's just horrible.
Well, you know, we hear so much about that.
We do.
And the typical misjustice.
Yeah, and you could get desensitized to all this stuff you're hearing all the time, but you really need to not do that.
Well, you really have to be praying for these, and the Lord will put a burden on your heart.
Yeah, and just like it says in Hebrews 13:3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering.
So make no mistake, this is a battle, and we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We hope the best for you. May God richly bless you in all that you do for Him. Be safe and go with God. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, get in on a lot of our various extended classic Warn Radio shows. We have a lot of good stuff up there to listen to, a lot of good articles on our websites. Until next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.